from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
It's a special day where it's just one of those meaningless numbers that people think seems to be important or something.
Yeah, I know. For an important date, this sure has been a shitty day.
It's a little bit shitty. Why don't you explain why it's shitty?
Oh, it's shitty for a number of reasons. Our cable internet did not come. We signed up like 2 weeks ago, and they said they'd come yesterday, and they did not come.
Yeah, this was we signed up for some fucking business internet because we're sick and tired of that home internet shit that's slow as hell. I'm like, we are an entertainment company on the web. Why do we have fucking pathetic hobo fucking speeds here?
Hey, you don't even want to know what we're getting. This is DSL, and DSL is shit to begin with, but this is horrible Bell DSL.
Most of our fans can't really comprehend how bad internet is in Canada. They don't know. I mean, like, if you're in fucking France, Japan, and most of goddamn civilized world, you have internet so blazingly fast that you just don't even know. You don't know. Fucking download caps. You know what that is? We do, and it's painful.
Yep, during the day, surfing at 60K per second, and that's just... it's just awful.
Yeah, just even uploading our stuff on the web is just a nightmare. People were asking me, hey, when are you going to put up some of the older episodes? And I'm just, at this point, it is such a massive hassle. It would take me probably a couple hours to do, and I'm not going to do it while we have crappy internet. I'm going to wait until we have the good stuff.
Yeah, and it might not be for a while, because we phoned them today, and they're like, oh, we did not know that you even...
Your address does not exist.
What do you mean your address does not exist? This address exists. What is the fucking problem?
Yeah.
I'm like, what, you've never had laid cable down in Verdun? It's a very popular neighborhood. It's a bullshit answer is what that was. That was some fucking bullshit right there.
Yeah, you're going to be in charge of phoning them tomorrow and giving them lip. Because I'm
going to go medieval on their ass. Mm. I'm going to go medieval. And it turns out we recorded a show yesterday. And I did not save it. And Ryan did not save it. And it's been a challenging day to not strangle him with a, you know.
You know, here's the deal. You're not allowed to give me shit for it. That's the deal.
That's no deal.
Look, check it out. Let me explain to you why. If you do want to strangle me for it, I will give you the sound card, and I will make you do all of the shit for all of the shows from now on. And then, when you fuck it up, I won't complain. Because when you've done it for, what, 200 shows, and you fuck up two or three, then that's still pretty good.
I think it's silly to assume that people aren't going to be mad. That's silly. That's saying, like, you can't be mad because...
No, you can't be mad because I took responsibility for this aspect of the show, and it's a pain in the ass, and I have to do a bunch of stuff because you can't even access my computer. There's a lot of things that I have to do for this, so pardon me if I fucked it up. Trust me, no one feels worse about having to redo this show than me, but you're not allowed to get angry at me because I'm putting on extra work for this fucking shit.
Which, there you go. Which is why we're going to make sure that we provide an equal amount of content for today's show, so it won't be me monopolizing the conversation. We're going to get you to talk.
Well, we'll see if you be quiet long enough.
I'll be quiet. I actually want to just talk a little bit about the song that I put at the beginning, which is from a band called Passion Pit. And you were explaining to me that they're really cool, is what I understand.
Well, here's the whole deal. Passion Pit is a really hot band. They're the freshest of the fresh. I'm sure there's fresher, but you know they're pretty damn fresh.
So they're like fresh fruit at the grocery store. They're not the canned shit.
No. These guys are like hipsters would tell you. Passion Pit is one of the albums of the year. I wouldn't really agree, but they've got some good songs. And yeah, they're pretty hot at the moment.
Okay, because I was just saying that because when I looked at them, it looked like they were a bunch of IT guys. Who recorded this in their basement. Like, I'm just saying that not one of them looks like they've showered in 3 days. And that's a new look, apparently? Because if that's the new look, we're going to be the hotness, is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah,
it's like
pretty much.
We are just naturally this gross and nerdy looking. And I'm like, if that's the new thing, we're going to get so much tail, it's going to be sick.
It totally works. If you embrace your geekdom and you just go with it, then it's fine. You just have to find that. You just have to accept whatever look that works with you and don't try and fight against it.
I think I just made a decision to never shave again. I don't think any of these guys did. Or when they shave, it's like one of the, it's a ritual that they do once a month or something.
You tried the beard before. It made you look like a fucking psycho killer.
Yes, but that was a beard like fucking 5 or 6 years ago. So I don't know how much more beardy I can get.
I double dare you to fucking grow a beard.
And plus, you know, now that I have to shave my head all the time, I'm wondering if I'd have a kind of crazy Viking look.
Yeah, no, go for it. Shaved head, Viking beard, I say go for it.
Yeah, I don't think the girlfriend's going to accept that, though. It's like one of those compromises that you usually have to accept. Because the hair in the face thing...
Yeah, I can accept that as well. Because I hit my stubble phase when I was dating my last girlfriend. And she didn't like it because, man, it's just... They like the look, man.
They like the look, but the
reality of the Brillo face is not pleasant for them.
This is why, in the future, we'll genetically modify our beard hair to be soft... rather than prickly, so that the three-day-old beard will not only be physically attractive, it'll also be mega comfortable, and it'll feel great. Mm. Okay, here's what I wanted to talk about today, because we talked about this yesterday. So we already had our warm-up, so this should be good.
Yeah.
Okay, the thing I wanted to talk about was an article that appeared in the Sunday Times, and it was entitled, Is Religion Hardwired in Our Brains? Now, first of all, I just have to say, I love whenever a scientific journal starts with a question, because you know that it's loaded. You can say anything you want, and as long as you put a question mark, it doesn't look like you're just a jackass.
Oh, yeah. It's an understood concept of writing. Whenever you want to get people to read a story that has the very obvious answer, you say, is this like this, or is this like that?
It's not even that.
And then at the end, you're just like the answer was always obvious, yes or no, there you go. It could be a one-answer thing, but...
Well, I mean more in the context of the fact that, say you're Fox News and you want to slander someone, you could put, is Obama a Nazi? And as long as you have a question mark, they're like, well, that was fair journalism, everybody.
Yeah.
We put a question mark in there, so we did our duty. And I'm saying anytime you have a fucking thing that starts with a question mark or makes that kind of statement, I mean, be careful. Anyways, the article, very, very short. I mean, it's like 200 or 500 words. It's one of your standard... You know, journalist who dabbles a little bit in science, talked to some guy, barely understands the facts, lays it down to fit his
his general idea.
Yeah, exactly. What I thought was interesting, though, is I guess I had done a little bit more digging on the article itself, because I wrote about it in my blog, and I was like, this is ridiculous. The article dealt mostly with superstition. The guy who published a study at the University of Bristol, a certain Bruce Hood, he was arguing that basically superstition is innate in people. So the article, the journalist basically decided that he was going to include religion in there, say, boom, we're hardwired to think about religion, and ta-da, there's your scientific article. Now, you've had a lot to say in the past about how journalists treat science. So I want you to repeat for everybody what you feel is the reality of scientific journalism in today's society.
I'm not quite sure I understand the question.
Well, how many times have we had discussions regarding... say, a study that's done somewhere on...
Well, I'll just give you a more general fucking truth, is that everybody is going to lie about what science says to fit whatever the hell they want it to say. And that's the general truth behind it. And that's why you got to worry so much about what you're reading in today's newspapers and magazines, because everybody will take scientific statements and scientific claims and try and twist them to prove their own point of view.
Well, you know, the thing that annoys me is I'm sick and tired of them publishing every single fucking study. A study is just that, one study. Science doesn't fucking rely on one study. You can have a study that finds that people that eat tofu have a lower IQ. Well, it turns out that your study sucked balls. And when it was replicated, there was no consistency in the results. And that's the whole thing about science. You publish a study, and then you wait. You wait to see if the experiment is duplicated, and if anything fucking happens from that. And if it does, okay, well, then you try to come up with some kind of model to explain what happens. And then after that, If it keeps on being shown to be true, you have yourself a bona fide scientific theory. But until it gets to the point where you start having confirmations, I find it personally fucking embarrassing. As soon as they release like that one study that just some dude does, and that was it. You know, you're just like, oh, well, he released a study, so therefore, he's a serious individual. No way he would have messed up that study.
Whenever I fucking see it on BBC News, oh, some university did a study with 200 people that proves that carrots lower your chances of cancer. I'm like, what does this even fucking mean?
Eating carrots and something else, perhaps, and living in Britain reduces your chance of cancer. Who knows? Who knows? But the more interesting story about the whole thing was actually the guy, Bruce Hood. He wrote on his blog, and I'm going to put a link to it as well. That you guys should go check out. He wrote saying, basically, I never said that religion was hardwired in the brain. It's like they took everything I said out of context, which is cool, but, you know, obviously the damage has been done. I think it's a shame, though, because I actually went on his site and started reading about what about his book, which is called Super Sense, Why We Believe in the Unbelievable.
Sounds a bit too close to that. What is it? Was it Shermer that wrote Why We Believe Strange Things?
Well, Shermer wrote it, wrote that basically explaining all kinds of various superstitious beliefs, but he tries to deal with the reason that we have superstitious beliefs.
The neurology behind it?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, Shermer never talked about the neurology. I only got about 150 pages in, and I just started getting bored at the repetitiveness of the of Why We Believe Strange Things books. So.
I hope that Michael Shermer's not listening now.
He'd be crying.
Well, I know that he's not a patron yet. So, you know, maybe one day. I will admit the book's a bit long for that. But actually, what really interested me about Super Sense is why I'm kind of having it on that whole periphery of my mind. I kind of want to read this book, but we don't have any fucking money.
And tell you what, it's going to be really nice when we have enough money that when we see a book that we want to buy, we can afford to buy it on the internet. That's going to be pretty sweet.
That's going to be sweet.
Because there's actually a couple of other books that I've been noticing floating around. That would be pretty cool to get. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that would help us with content for these shows.
It's true. I mean, you can do a lot of research online, and that's primarily where we get it. But I always found that the most creative shows and my most creative ideas usually come when I'm reading books because they put the fucking effort in a book. Mm-hmm. Web is sometimes a bit of a wild west of information.
Web is, you got to realize that people get paid on the web for the amount of content, not really the quality of the content. So there's always just so much shit floating around. So.
Even in our own sites. There's even poo in our own sites.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, this Bruce Hood guy. I mean, you don't think he's not going to post up some less than amazing stuff on his blog every so often just on one of those hump days because he needs something up there? It's going to happen.
Oh, for sure. I remember Freakonomics. They had a long-running blog for a little while to try to push their book, and it started getting a bit ridiculous because obviously every article that they write has to tie back into the book, and you just, can you write anything new here? And you realize that, of course, they're not going to. It's the whole appeal of it, and you just gotta fucking grind it out, and that's the book industry for you. But the reason I wanted to get it is because I really am interested more in studies on superstition. Because I do believe, like Bruce believes, that essentially superstitions are hardwired in our brains. They're hardwired in other brains, too.
I know, but here's an interesting thing about this Bruce Hood guy. You were kind of telling me about some of the experiments that he did with superstition. And one of the things that he did to show that people are superstitious is he says, who wants to put on this sweater for $10? And a whole bunch of people would put their hands up. And they said, well, by the way, this sweater is a serial killer sweater. Now, who wants to put it on? And most people put their hands down. And I'm like, okay, so this is superstition, I suppose, because putting on a serial killer sweater isn't really a big deal. But
well, it would. Okay, first of all, let's think about it ourselves. Let's do a little thought experiment and pretend we had a sweater or a hat of a known murderer. Now, you would kind of associate some kind of power with that, even if you knew that it had no power. You would have kind of an emotional response to it, right? You would see it, and you'd be like, holy shit.
Well, yeah, it's the association with the serial killer. It has nothing to do with this person has this kind of power. It's just creepy to think that some sick person has handled this thing.
Well, I think in that sense, you can still call it a superstition. I don't want to say that a superstition is really kind of... I don't want to make the definition too narrow. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying that in his definition of superstition, he includes kind of the way that we assign fetish to objects. So anything, not sexual fetishes, just fetishes, powers that we confer on them.
Doesn't the word fetish, isn't that inherently tied up with sexuality?
Nope.
No?
Nope, not at all.
Really?
It's just, I'm telling you.
Really?
I'm telling you. Yeah. I think it actually comes from the word fetiche or something like that, which is an African word for inferring power on something. Don't quote me on it, but I'm very sure that the word fetish is not sexual in nature. You can check that out while I continue to talk about it. But anyways, my point that I was trying to make was that...
Oh, yeah, there you go. Fetishism is the attribution of religious or mystical qualities to inanimate objects.
So it has actually no sexual connotation.
And you were close. It wasn't African. It was Portuguese.
Damn it!
And in turn from Latin, factitious, artificial, and factare, to make.
Okay. All right. So
you were close. Not too bad.
I tried. Mm-hmm. You know me. Always very close, but still always a little bit full of shit.
Always, yeah. Always just a little bit wrong.
That's my appeal. I think that's why people like
it. I know. It's enjoyable because every so often you get it wrong, I'm just like, ah. Got it wrong.
Yes! I'm happy that you take so much pleasure from me being wrong.
I just take pleasure in you not always being right. I don't see how that's strange.
It is
a bit
strange.
You can understand why... No, you don't?
Well, okay, it's not a strange behavior. I just think that from the outside looking in, it looks strange. It is kind of strange. It's a weird dynamic, I suppose, is a better way to put it. It's a like that people root for your failure because they want you to be reminded of your own humanity.
No, okay. Well, let me put this out there to everybody who listens to the show. Let's have another little mind experiment. You hang out with someone all day, every day, who's always right. Does that sound annoying to you?
Yes. That is
exactly.
Sound.
There we go.
I'm an easy
fortunately,
guy to get along
fortunately
with.
That's not the situation since you're not always right. And that's why it's okay. And why we have such a good time.
Because I'm still an idiot.
Keep being wrong, my friend.
I'm working on it. I'm working on it one day at a time. okay, so let's go back to a thought experiment. So we have the hat and we feel some kind of intuitive thing, like a feeling when we're around that object.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, the object now has power. Now, we can just because we understand that we are having a superstition doesn't take away from that initial feeling. Like if I measure your brain and I look at your reaction, because basically what he did was he took galvanic skin response tests. Remember the whole lie detectors, how they work? Basically measuring, blood pressure, skin conductivity, and that kind of stuff. So the way the lie detectors
same way
work.
As the E-meter, right?
Yeah, well, the E-meter just works based on skin kind of conductivity. Yeah. So it's like a cheap lie detector. It's not even any good. Mm. I'd probably always set it off because I have really moist hands, so they would think I got lots of demons.
Either that or that you're L. Ron Hubbard reborn.
Oh, there you go. The man with the clammiest palms is the fucking new L. Ron Hubbard. Anyways, my point is that people did have physical reactions to them, even if they knew, because he tested on atheists and skeptics mostly, which is what I think is really interesting because it's kind of like... You are trying to prejudicially find individuals that are less prone, or at least you think are less prone to superstitious belief, and even they have they display physical characteristics of superstition, even though they're aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the same way that you watch a girl walk by and you just really want to have sex with her, but you know that you should not.
Uh-huh.
It's like one of those things. Yeah, it's just an instinct that you have to have sex with her. You shouldn't always listen to your instinct.
Just kind of you look at her and your brain. Fires off that whole kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
engine revving. And you're like, oh my God. You know that buzz that you get sometimes when you see a girl walk by?
I suppose I've just hung up on the idea that he would claim that, or the general claim, even though I do recognize from probably the whole way that the brain works that it's true, the idea of not wanting to wear a murderer's sweater is
I don't
like want to
do it. I don't want to do it at all.
But here's the whole thing. My opinion on it, because to me a superstition is, oh, I don't want to step on that crack or break my mother's back. It's like, I don't believe in any kind of weird anything about this person's sweater. I would wear it. If it came up, but the general reason for not wearing isn't because of some strange superstitious a murderer weird it might take me over. It has to do with he's a serial killer. He could have masturbated into his hat, or he could have molested somebody wearing that fucking thing, and it's just gross.
Okay, well
just
I had
gross.
I think I'm not really that prone to superstition that much, because you know what? One of my friends, his father had passed away, and they had a bunch of clothes of his, including a jacket, and I even think they gave me his wallet. They just gave it to me because they'd rather I have it than just some stranger, which makes sense, you know. But you can understand at the same time, there's a lot of people that would probably felt like, I don't want to wear a dead man's clothes or whatever.
Or use his wallet.
Or use his wallet for some weird reason. Maybe they figure, oh, if I wear that, it's cursed, and I'll get the same ailment that this person gets.
I don't believe the whole superstitious thing. It's just, it is weird. It is weird.
It does feel weird. But that's exactly his point, I think. And I think he's correct in making that point. We have to look at our, like, the way that our brain basically tries to find patterns where there is no pattern, and that leads to superstitious belief. The same kind of study was conducted on pigeons by a psychologist by the name of B.F. Skinner. Now, B.F. Skinner, back in the fucking 60s, man, like, he was the dude. The fucking dude. Back in the First World War, B.F. Skinner was asked by the government to develop a type of guided missile using pigeons also. Mm-hmm. Like, and it got it to work. They had these little dials that they could press to kind of guide the missiles, and they were surprisingly accurate, man. Mm. Kind of weird, though. But this man was a master of pigeons. So he decided that he wanted to find out how superstition might work in other animals. So he put them in a cage, and he had a feeder, and the feeder was randomly giving out pellets. And what he noticed was that these pigeons started displaying all kinds of weird behaviors and characteristics, dancing around, turn around in circles, lying down. And that's all from their need to see patterns. So they thought, well, if I was turning around at the time of the food pellet came, so they try it again. The behavior is reinforced. The behavior is reinforced again, and boom, we have a pattern now. We have a superstition, ladies and gentlemen. It is firmly established. Mm. And it's the same for fucking human beings. I had a Darren Brown video. If you don't know who Darren Brown is, he's a famous mentalist. Woo! He'll hopefully take over. He's like the gay James Randi, basically, is what Darren Brown is. And he had a whole fun experiment where he got a whole bunch of people into a little room, and there was a bunch of objects, painted things on the floor. There were beanbag chairs. There was one of those, what are they called again? The thing with the arm that you, the slot machines. Yeah, an old school slot machines from like the 70s that had a cowboy on it and shit like that. And the doors closed, kind of crazy, lights went off, you know, pay attention, humans. And a thing appeared saying that you have, if you can get 100 points in 15 minutes, you can leave and win 500 pounds. And so everybody was trying all kinds of stupid shit. They were putting beanbags, different colored beanbags, on the different colored tiles. They were juggling oranges. One guy was just trying to press the lever all the time. Sometimes they were dancing on one head and trying to dance. Whatever. I mean, they tried everything. Obviously, you're going to try anything. And meanwhile, there was a points counter that would just go up by a few points every now and again. So they were like, yes, we figured it out. So they'd try that again, and it wouldn't work. Tried a new combination. Anyways, the way that the numbers were generated was just basically a fish swimming from one end of the of an aquarium to the other, and every time it did, they gave a point. So there was no real, you know, method to get, distributing points. But nevertheless, when the minutes were over, you know, he came in and they were like, well, so what did you do? And they were like, oh, well, this worked and we figured this out and this. And he's like, no, there was no figuring out. It was completely random and you guys are insane. Mm-hmm. So we have superstitious beliefs just sort of built in naturally. I think it's a pragmatic approach.
You want me to tell you what this sounds strangely like, and you can tell me whether or not you agree or disagree. It sounds a whole lot like those scientists with the 200 fucking random people feeding them carrots and saying, how does this affect your fucking cancer?
What do you mean?
Well, look at all these retarded scientific studies that are coming out now with these small test groups making these ridiculous conclusions. And very likely, whatever the fuck they're monitoring has nothing to do with the results that they're getting, and they're just inferring causation.
Well, it can happen. I mean, that's the whole sticky process when it comes to, you know, releasing a study or making a scientific experimentation is not as simple as it sounds, you know, because the greatest enemy you have is yourself, how you interpret fucking data. Remember we were watching that documentary on homeopathy, and there was this French researcher, and he thought that he had found some kind of principle in water to give him memory. And I don't think that he was trying to be deceitful in his attempts, but they saw a pattern where there was no pattern, because I think that they wanted to find those results, and that slight push was enough to kind of create, a significant result. in their experimentation. It's always why these kinds of things need to be redone and done again and in new fashions with completely and utterly different circumstances.
You literally need to try and deprove the things that you're trying to
prove. Oh, yeah. Well, that's the most important thing. Like, when you read a good study, you will see at the beginning what is the weakness. What ways could they be proven wrong? They're like, okay, well, we had this problem, or the people that we were able to find only had these pre-existing conditions, and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of challenges, man. It's why fucking the process does not get done overnight. And sometimes it can seem like almost like you're shooting in the dark. You're saying, well, how can we really test this out? Well, sometimes we use proxy animals like rats to try to test something out because they're similar, but they're not the same. So obviously, just because a fucking study was done on some rats, unfortunately, does not mean that it'll have the same effect on humans, not even by a fucking long shot sometimes. Mm. But it's still a really useful start. And that's the kind of thing with science. You got to start somewhere. Sometimes you just got to make some studies, and eventually somebody's going to turn around saying, that was just crap, but I would rather there be bad studies that get disproven than no studies at all, because then that's not interesting at all. We need more data. More data is always good, because from that the bad crap starts being filtered out and like floatsome and sort of emerges. Mm. And I think that's kind of how the scientific theory works. But anyways, going back to the whole story of what we were originally talking about, which is how the mainstream media basically loves to misinterpret studies and science in fucking general. It just it makes me really sad. But at the same time, I think that this kind of trend is going to reach an apex at some point. Like, how many of us are really still getting our news from mainstream sources? How many? Like, how many of our listeners do you think really are trusting mainstream news?
I imagine to a good degree many people are. Like, it still hasn't hit a tipping point where you'd trust what you read on some blog over what you read on say, MSNBC or BBC News or something like that. But I mean, everybody, I figure, still visits that mainstream page to get the overall view of what's going on in the world.
Right, but I think that what's happened, and this is what I like to call the Fox News phenomenon, and I think that the Fox News phenomenon is one where people are really starting, the trust that we have in mainstream institutions to kind of police themselves is completely eroded.
Oh, yeah.
And once the trust is gone, what are they going to do to get it back? Like, I don't think there is a way for mainstream news organizations on either side, you know, because I've seen just as, imbalanced and unfair news reporting from both sides. I would say primarily right now it's coming from the conservative angles, who are just absolutely fucking insane. We're going to talk about that next. But essentially, I think that the younger generation is completely losing all faith in mainstream media.
Well, why the fuck should you give any respect to, say, CNN or MSNBC or any of the other 24-hour news channels? They are the biggest joke in the world. You watch them long enough and you realize that these people are fucking... These are the worst of the worst. This is it's even worse than normal entertainment shows, because these are very clearly idiots that they have running the show. That know nothing more than the majority. Like, these aren't smart people that they're giving these fucking desk jobs for the most part. These are just charismatic hucksters.
Well, not just that. I think in general, the 24-hour news cycle is what started killing news. Mm-hmm. Because news needs to percolate a little bit. When you're reporting on shit and you have no facts, you're making news, in a sense, by reporting it. Because awareness of events changes the course of those events. But if you're trying to kind of control the narrative from the beginning and you don't even know what the fuck is going on, you're causing more confusion. I think that there is just definitely that aspect to it. And plus, I mean, they're no longer even in the breaking news business. I mean, with the internet, with programs like Twitter, Facebook, social applications, people are becoming more and more aware of news, like, immediately. I'm not suggesting that Twitter is suddenly a valid news source. But what I'm saying is it's a giant rumor mill, which is what news organizations basically are with a 24-hour news cycle. They're a fucking rumor mill. And they're not doing any of their fucking better job than a bunch of independent blogger or Twitterers. And that's sad, you know? That's fucking sad. But that's the new reality. That's the new goddamn reality. And strangely and crazily enough, we are part of that new fucking media. Although we don't make or break news, we talk about news. We're like one of those old school crossfire shows on fucking on TV, except for we swear a lot and we answer to no one. And we also don't have advertisers, but maybe we should, you know, for cigarettes, be like, ah, that cool Carolina smoke.
3 out of 4 doctors agree, Smothers is the smoother cigarette.
Now, I wanted to go back and talk a little bit about I guess the conservative meltdown maybe is the way that I want to describe what's happening in the U.S. because I have been closely scrutinizing things that are happening in the U.S. and it's getting worse and worse, at least the way that I see it. And the latest of the news is basically President Obama recently gave a speech on education. It was a really simple speech. He's not the first president to do so. Reagan and Bush also gave addresses on school, urging kids to stay in school and fly right or whatever. It should have been a non-story, right?
So was it Obama was doing a speech for kids, kind of like?
Yeah, it's like an address to the nation kind of a thing. So they were basically streaming it on TV or on the internet. Anyways, it was designed in a way that anybody could display during class time, that kind of stuff. Kind of a personal message to kids.
Yeah.
And naturally, because he's a Democrat and because conservatives are still reeling from their defeat, parents were like refusing to allow their children to watch these videos. So they were a number of school districts didn't show it. Some of them gave permission slips that you could have that would dismiss your children from not watching the video at all. Just insanity when you think about it, because it's a conversation about education. It's like having a permission slip to miss out on a conversation meant to try to get you to stay in school. Does no one see how insane this is? This is crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty retarded.
And I mean, you know where all this comes from? It comes from one really basic thing that no one's talking about. This is all some fucking racist shit brewing. Okay, the birthers, the people who deny that... And, you know, President Obama is the president, despite the fact that obviously he's shown again and again his birth certificate, where the local newspaper had a story about his birth. You know, like, the evidence is there. But, of course, I think they said something along the lines of 43% of Americans think that he wasn't born in this country. Like, the conspiracy theory has reached this size. Like, the only conspiracy theory that has more support is the notion that President John F. Kennedy was assassinated by, you know, a consortium.
And that one took a very wacky but entertaining movie by Oliver Stone to really get going.
I really don't want to see the Obama-Oliver Stone kind of conspiracy movie. That's not a good movie. That's not a good movie, but...
I would love to see it just to see how hilariously unintentionally racist it would be.
Well, that's the whole funny thing about watching these videos where people are having debates on the healthcare reform in the U.S. because everything all melds back into one basic point: healthcare reform, birthers, this speech. It's all based on one thing: white people do not like, or at least some very racist white people hate the fact that a black man is a president of the United States. Now, I thought naively when Obama won that
the healing was about to begin.
No, just that the power of the office of the president would be enough that it would silence the racists, and they would just at least have to fucking chew down and swallow their own rhetoric that you're supposed to listen to the president and all this other kind of shit that they had said for 8 years.
For 8 years when we had to listen to the biggest buffoon in the universe.
Like, just a complete fucking clown. But even at the end, I was like, you know what? You are stuck with him. Just fucking bear through, and then a new guy can come over, and yeah, you gotta fucking play by those rules, bitch. If you're saying the president is the man, well, you gotta fucking listen to him. But all of a sudden it's like, no, I don't trust him. He's not really the president. He's gonna kill my baby. And you just, what is going on? And you know, it's just as annoying as when those fucking leftists, the hardcore leftists, were putting pictures of Bush looking like fucking Hitler. That shit is so played out. And now they're doing that with Obama. And I'm like, a white person putting a Nazi mustache on a black man, I don't even want to tell you how fucked up that is. That's all kinds of fucked up.
It's about the dumbest thing you can do.
It's pretty bad. The only thing I can imagine worse is doing that to Albert Einstein, maybe, or something. It's a besmirching campaign that never works either sides. It's just, it is the stupidest shit I've ever seen. I mean, it's just character assassination, and it fucking has no, there's no point. There is no fucking point. But I find it sad. I mean, I guess, like I said, I mean, I was naive to think that just the office of the presidency, the glamour of that office would be enough. And plus, you know, he's a charismatic dude, so I figured he's going to win over most of these motherfucking racists, but I had underestimated the power of hateful rhetoric, sir.
Well, you've just got to understand, like you were saying, that there is no point. Sure, there's a point. The point is to keep this guy from being able to accomplish anything he wants to accomplish. And that's the reason why you've got the racist people at the bottom of the totem pole fucking pushing this shit, and then you've got the people above that trying to encourage that message and get it out there and spread it.
I think the problem, too, is that if you turn around with these people and start calling them on their shit, they're going to turn around and say, oh, you're putting words in my mouth, and how dare you say that? I mean, it's the rhetoric of racism has become very, very, very clever nowadays. I mean, as soon as you even utter the possibility of someone being a racist, it's like you're shunned socially. You're not allowed to accuse somebody of being racist. Apparently, that's worse than being a racist now.
I think people just need to start. You need to get over telling people that they're racist and just saying that they're being fucking idiots. And that's all. I don't know. There just seems to be a general trend where a lot of people are taking the same information. We're all getting the same, and everybody's interpreting it very differently. And lots of people are creating their own factual universe out of these narratives, which are completely bullshit, completely not even reality.
No,
like,
you
could do more acid and come closer to the true reality that's going on than how these people are interpreting it.
Are you telling everybody to do acid, Ryan? Is that what you're telling people?
Maybe just a little.
My concern, actually, is the fact that most of these racists don't know they're racist. That's the worst thing. When you do not know that you are a racist, where you kind of come up with all these justifications, like saying, oh, well, you know, there's just something about him I don't like. I don't know what it is. Of course you don't know what it is. You're in deep denial that you do not like his skin color, that you are afraid that your way of life. And I wish you could see the parentheses that I'm putting with my fingers, because I practically strain them. I'm forcing so hard. But their way of life is threatened because someone of a different pigmentation might mess it up. You know, because I guess most white people think, oh, that's pretty sweet being white. It's great. We don't want to lose this. I'm like, it's sweet being white for like 10% of the population that fucking has all the money. And for the rest of it, we're just chat on like everybody else. Like, I'm a poor white guy and it sucks, man. It doesn't suck more than being a poor black guy, though. Mm-hmm. But it certainly isn't as awesome as being a rich white guy. That's where it's at.
Yep.
And they've got us convinced that that's the best thing for everybody. That's not the best thing for everybody. That's the best thing for them. It's a bullshit right there. It's a fucking bullshit. Anyways, I get a little upset at racists in denial, because I think even in our own lives, there may be aspects that we're prejudicial towards but don't even know. And I think it's important to ask yourself that question, like saying, is there another component that I don't see there? Maybe you're talking to someone, you're like, I don't like him, or there's something about him I don't trust. Maybe you should actually look inside yourself and say, well, is there fundamentally something that this person, it hasn't even done, just by virtue of being themselves, that's led me to dislike them for some fucking reason.
Yeah, just a quick note to all you listeners out there. Self-discovery is a lot of fun, and it's a lot better for you than, say, half an hour of television. If you ever have any kind of thoughts like that, take a bit of time, sit aside. Maybe drink 6 or 7 beers or smoke a joint or something like that to get you into an introspective fucking mood to think about these things and try and follow that path. And see where it goes, because you'd be amazed at what you can fucking work out. And once you understand why you think the way that you think, you could change how you think.
Yeah, it's true. That's the cool thing about being human. You know, that's the unique thing. Other species, they don't get to change the way they think. We get to change that shit. And you know, there's something also that's kind of relatively unique. Once you learn something that kind of changes your world, it's really difficult to unlearn it. Now, for the most part, that's a great thing. Sometimes it's bad, like finding out that you die. Yeah, you can't unlearn that. That one sucks. But we're all dying. I got news for you. Slowly but surely, you, sir or ma'am, are dying. You don't know when it's going to happen, but it will happen. You are fucking walking zombie. Now, don't worry about it too much, because otherwise you're going to ruin your fun. But the great thing, again, about being human is that once you find something out, like, for instance, that the sun revolves around the earth, it's kind of hard to go back. You know, you don't want to go back. And the more you discover, the more you have a fucking understanding of the universe, I'm telling you, the more exciting it becomes. I'm only looking forward to learning more. I mean, I don't look back on my youth as fondly as some other people that, you know, they live in this world saying, like, it was so much better in college. I was having fun and woo. I'm like, fuck that. I was an idiot in college. I like me now. I like who I'm becoming. I like who I will become. Fuck this looking back bullshit. Pick up a book and look forward, man, because the future's good. Well, at least I hope the future's good.
I think it'll be okay.
As long as we can not kill each other for now, things will be good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you know what? We should wrap that up for show number two.
Let's do it.
And we're going to catch everybody tomorrow for the regular show. We'd like to thank everybody for becoming a patron. We hope that you stay a patron with us for many, many years to come. We will continue to do cool things in any way, shape, or form, and we invite you to stay with us for the journey.
Yes, please.